Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Belice here as well. To my right, I'm on the board today. We keep shuffling the board. We got to get Pipes on the board tomorrow, and then everything will be good for the week. So you're on the board tomorrow, maybe after an exciting Cardinals baseball victory. Did you look at the lineup? Albert Pujols, we're going back circa 2000, what?
You're way too excited for the series.
Nine?
Let's just put that out there right away. You are way too excited for a series where the Cardinals will not have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado.
Oh, boy. Pujols hitting four. So we'll,
is he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
great.
Back in the cleanup spot, boys. When's the last time Albert Pujols – did he do that earlier this year, though? I think there was a game, actually, that he hit in the cleanup spot. So we'll have to gauge that and see what happens there. But, yeah, no, the big news there, Paul Goldschmidt – Nolan Arenado will not be in the lineup, will not be in Toronto this weekend as the Cardinals face the Blue Jays. Luckily, just a two-game series in Toronto. So tonight and tomorrow, short shows for us. So we will only be here around an hour or just a little bit more because it's an early start up in Toronto. So you only get us quickly today. And, of course, the big news today for fans around here, of course, of Illinois football and Big Ten football in general – Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. I don't know how much you guys were able to focus on this today, if at all. Obviously, the expansion with USC, UCLA coming into the conference in 2024. I heard a few questions today about what does this do for the academics, four-hour time zones, all of that. And, you know, it's just one of those where I'm like, oh, okay, that's none of my interest, to be honest with you. I mean, that's terrible to say, but it's not. What's it going to do for the conference?
It's not supposed to be for the fan, the consumer.
Exactly.
Doesn't care about
I mean, it's
maximizing
great
time zones and academics, prestige, or whatnot. I mean, we know the Big Ten is into academics, and it's been fully talked about of why USC and UCLA make sense, why they want Notre Dame, and academics is a big part of that as well. But
right. We
want to know what it looks like on the field. And yeah, this was really Kevin Warren's victory lap.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it really was.
Good for him.
He's
he needed
an intense
one.
Dude.
He was due, as Lon Tay likes to say.
He was due. He is an intense guy. Like, when he comes out, it's pretty funny because he goes from complete intensity to becoming your best friend when they open up the questions and answers. So everything is like he's gripping that podium during his part of it, his 20 minutes of just blah. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, Trevor, how are you doing, buddy? And then at the end he's like, great question. Great question there, Trevor. So interesting stuff. But they did have a chance, of course, obviously the media, to talk a lot about the USC and UCLA edition. I thought it was a cool piece, just about a minute and 15 on ESPN that they ran today. And in this piece, you hear first from Kevin Warren, then you hear from Scott Frost, Mike Locksley, and then PJ Fleck. And you can only imagine that Fleck is fired up as it goes. But I wanted to play this little snippet here that they had done today. And again, courtesy of ESPN here on ESPN 93.5.
I get asked every single day, what's next? It may include future expansion. But it will be done for the right reasons, at the right time, with our student athletes, academic and athletic empowerment at the center of any and all decisions that we will make regarding any further expansions. We will not expand just to expand. It will be strategic. It will add additional value to our conference.
I think everybody can see the landscape changing, and this move pretty much Scott ensures Frost. That we're out in front of it and relevant in college football, no matter where it all ends up. Coached against those two teams before. I think they'll be great additions to the league.
To add those two type of teams that have storied Mike history is a win for the Big Ten. As far as the flight, you know what? It is what it is. And you know, for us, you know, we'll play the games that end up on our schedule. We'll manage it and come up with a way to hopefully allow us to get out there and play our best.
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was L.A. Are you kidding me? That's perfect. I mean, the Big Ten now is represented from the West Coast to the East Coast. And you look at the major media markets now, I mean, that's incredibly positive.
It would be interesting to know if any coach in the Big Ten actually hates this and just came out, and obviously they're not going to, but they're all going to put on the friendly face with regards to this expansion. And they also understand that it leads to more money for the conference. It leads ultimately, if they get their own job done, more money for them. There'll be more in the coffers to pay coaches, even though they make quite a bit now. But certainly, you know, that was the hot topic today. And like you said, it was kind of a victory lap for Kevin Warren to go out and kind of understand. They asked him about more expansion, and he said, kind of said it there, we will expand if it's right for the conference. If it's right for the student athlete, we will consider expansion. I mean, if you want to.
Well, it's not about the student athlete.
No, it's not about the student athlete.
This is not what they're doing.
So read through that to know that there will be more expansion at some point.
When he's talking about NIL, it's like, well, we want to make sure there's the guidelines to where these are not used as a recruiting tool or a way to sway a decision, which is
that's exactly what
they're being used for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mike Locksley, of course, spoke third. He's at Maryland, and he's the one that mentioned the flight. I think probably because it was a direct question to him about, you know, the time, four time zones he will cross to get to L.A. and vice versa for, you know, you think about it, USC and UCLA are going to be the ones probably that have the most travel, I would assume, right? I mean,
yes.
They've always got to go far to play anybody. Nebraska, is that right, would be their closest game. So in that regards, I mean, it's more of those two that are going to be doing most of the heavy travel schedule on that, and then we'll see what else is added in the future to this conference. I mean, it is what it is now, right?
It is, and it's really not that big of a deal in football.
No.
Let's be honest.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
They've got the money, the finances to do it. It's trying to justify what you're going to do it because you're taking all of your athletic department to the Big Ten. It's like, okay, we have, say, softball, which is not a revenue-generating sport. We're going to fly the softball team, that being USC and UCLA,
right.
across the country so many different times, plus football is once a week.
Yes.
So we see it all the time in the NFL where, you know, Tampa's going to go play Seattle in Seattle, and maybe you strategically plan on when that flight's going to take off. And you're not going to be similar to like a men's basketball where if the conference says, which I don't think they will, Illinois, you're going to play at USC on a Wednesday, and then you're going to come back and host Indiana on a Saturday. That is more of a tough turnaround. I'm sure that they will figure it out. And as common sense goes along, if you're out there to play USC, maybe then your next game is at UCLA and you stay out there for a couple of days. I don't think, especially in football, like we're saying, we're playing once a week. You got bye weeks to make some things work out even more so. It's not that big of a deal.
And it is funny because when you think about it, it's always directed at football, right? And we've talked about that, and that's how it – I mean, I don't want to say it's how it should be. It alienates every other sport when you say it like that, but certainly that's the big money that is generated mainly because of football. So that is when you think of most of these decisions, you think of football. And of course, today is the football media day, which makes you think that way. I know that, you know, it's pretty cool. I was listening today to a little bit of the Illini, today, a little bit of the Illini coaches like Ryan Walters and these guys, and how they were, you know, excited about the expansion because some of their kids now will be able to play in the Coliseum, in the Rose Bowl. And, you know, like if you're here for 4 years, essentially, you're going to have a chance to play at the Rose Bowl. is the thought process to that. So that's a pretty cool thing. Now, I was trying to do the math on that. The Brett Bielema said that yesterday when he met with the media at his golf outing, that in 4 years, everybody would be able to play at the Rose Bowl. But is that certain? I don't know that that's certain, because I don't know that you might not go a couple of years without playing. Like, for instance, Indiana, Illinois hasn't played Indiana since 2017 in football. And, of course, that's 3 hours away. But that is one of those – that just shows you that they have not had Indiana on the schedule in that long. Now, I don't know. Maybe Brett Bielema slipped a little bit there and led us kind of into the future of how they're going to do the scheduling on this. I don't know. But certainly, I could understand the concept of where he's going there. But I don't know that you would be assured of playing out on that West Coast during your career, because what if you don't play UCLA your freshman and sophomore years, and then your junior year you play him at home, and then you don't play him again your senior year? You know, I don't know.
That's not going to work then.
No, it's not going to work. So we'll see. But again, there's so much logistically to figure out with this expansion, and will there be more? Like we talked about yesterday, before 24. Now, I think it'd be hard, unless you're going to get an announcement pretty soon. I think it'd be hard to get more expansion in here by 24, but we'll see. We'll see how it unfolds. By the way, today, no news on the TV deal that Kevin Warren mentioned, that they're still in talks with that. He did mention multiple media outlets, and I think, Trevor, you mentioned that yesterday, where you'd be bringing in NBC, like with Notre Dame, let's say, but certainly they're talking more with, obviously, the Big Ten is on the Big Ten Network and Fox, FS1, but he made it seem like multiple in that regard, so we'll see. I mean, there's some big things on the horizon here for Kevin Warren and this Big Ten leadership.
Yeah, there certainly is, and it will be really interesting to what that number is going to be for the TV rights deal, and I'm curious of how long they're going to strategically sign that contract, knowing that there could be another big fish to come along, like a Notre Dame. Like, if you think that Notre Dame's going to stand pat for a couple of years, they don't feel like they have to make a move right now, but your deal is going to be signed here in the next couple of months or whatever it may be, maybe you make it a shorter term deal,
right,
to where then you're negotiating again if Notre Dame shows up, or there might be even some kind of opt-out clause or some type of increase if that kind of a school comes in, because all of a sudden the value is immensely bigger just based on Notre Dame's individual brand. And sorting all of that out and watching what the next dominoes are going to fall and how soon they will is all going to be really interesting to play out. But it's crazy to think, yeah, we're going to have USC, UCLA here in 2 years, and we're going to be waiting what is going to be a big TV contract that's obviously going to tap into LA, and we all know what that means.
That's going to be huge. All right, so we saved you the idea of listening to PJ Fleck, so at least we did that. But I do have a sound
row bite. The boat, ski your mom.
Right, exactly.
Is that how you say it?
I don't even know. We do have Scott Frost, though, my guy, and Tom Allen was asked directly about this. I didn't realize this, but when you guys think about it, who's the one Big Ten team every year that opens the season with a conference game? It's been Indiana.
Seems like Indiana.
I think it's 4 out of 6 years, and one of the years that we're counting as a non-game was COVID, where they were supposed to open against Wisconsin. Now, obviously, in that COVID year, everybody only played the Big Ten, and they ultimately ended up starting with Penn State. But Tom Allen directed that or made that mention today, saying, well, even during that COVID year, we were supposed to start with Wisconsin. And the guy that asked the question was like, have you talked to the Big Ten about, like, why you're always the – and he said, you know, I don't think I've ever really had the platform to visit on that. And, of course, he did the right thing. He's like, hey, we do what the schedule says, and we got to be ready to go. But it is pretty interesting how all of that happens. I can remember what was – it was an Indiana-Ohio State game about 5 years ago that kind of started that stretch. And Indiana played really well on that game. And then I think they've maybe played Michigan State once in that tenure.
They had Iowa last year. Illinois, of course, this year.
Yep. And I think maybe a game against Maryland or something. Or maybe we mentioned the four. So, but I hadn't thought of that. But in your mind, when you start thinking back, it's like, you know what? Indiana has been the team that every year is opening. Now, Illinois, of course, last year opened with Nebraska. This year opens with Wyoming, but Indiana, of course, doesn't play week zero. Their first game is against Illinois a Big Ten Conference foe again. So just kind of interesting. And
that's going to be fun where after Illinois hopefully beats Wyoming, yes. we then are going to try to debate, is Illinois at an advantage having a game under their belt, or is Indiana now getting a chance to...
Right.
Indiana, by the way, has two new coordinators, both offensive Ooh. And defense. I learned that today listening to some Tom Allen. So we could kind of skew it whatever way you want. Is Illinois not going to have a view of the new Indiana offense and mm-hmm. defense? I don't think you're worrying about rest. Like, is Indiana fresher in week one versus playing week zero?
But probably not.
It is interesting that they are going to open with Illinois, but Illinois has a game before that.
That's fair. That is a fair point. Tom Allen even kind of joked when he said, you know, it does seem a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? It seems a little strange because it doesn't seem like we would just happen to be drawn out of a hat four times. In other words, there's got to be a reason why they're doing this, and I don't know if it's we're being picked on or what the scoop is, but certainly I'm sure Indiana would be fine.
Why don't you pick on Rutgers?
Right. I'm sure they'd be fine starting with Wyoming one year instead of Penn State or Ohio State or someone of that. So when we come back, we'll hear from Scott Frost. Of course, they visit Illinois is at Nebraska this year on October 29th. And, of course, Indiana week one, even though – is the second game. We're going through this again, the craziness. Illinois will be at Indiana. We'll hear from Tom Allen about that game as well and what he looks forward to in that. We got a lot to do. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's the U of I, Illini Link text line, 217-359-2255. Follow us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
There is one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business, as well as Central Illinois employees dedicated to providing you with professional installation and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's HumbleHogBBQ.com.
It's a stress-free summer at Merle Norman Cosmetics. Looks are effortless with the 2022 Explore Color Collection. Ask about the limited edition 12-shade Exploration Eye Palette with guided labels for precise application. Next, swirl on Neutral or Berry Cheek Trio Blush and finish with one of the new plant-powered tinted lip balm colors for shiny, nourished lips. Shop the Explore Color Collection while supplies last at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign, over by Subway.
For nearly three decades, thousands of customers in Central Illinois have trusted their commercial and residential needs to the top-rated team at Matex.
I am the head plumber. The best reason to call Matex, in my opinion, is that you're going to get somebody that cares about your house and cares about your problem. Anytime you call a plumber, it's never good news. So I'm going to be friendly and kind and lighten the situation and let them know that no matter what problem they they have, it'll get taken care of.
Visit us online at mattechservice.com to learn more or book your service today. Mattex, feel the difference.
I am Dr. Jaya Wadawan, pediatrician with OSF Healthcare. Here are some safety tips to remember this summer. Stay hydrated before, during, and after activity. Wear light, breathable clothing. Sunscreen. I know we all love a good summer tan, but preventing sunburn is of utmost importance. Some signs and symptoms to watch for in extreme heat is fatigue, dizziness, headaches, confusion, intense thirst, tiredness, headache, nausea, vomiting, muscle aches. If experiencing any of these symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. During extreme heat, it is important to take some time in the shade and air conditioning. Stay hydrated. If experiencing any of these signs or symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. Have fun this summer, but also remember to practice sun safety. For more information, please visit osfhealthcare.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, champagne.com.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts.
You know, I think one of the things that people forget to think about in the summertime, the heat of the summer, is watering.
Also on our annual plants, in our containers and hanging baskets, water is super important, and we should check that in the morning especially. That way they can go into the day being hydrated.
And not just the annuals we planted this spring, but any of those trees and shrubs that we've just planted, they can just go wilty.
Come to Prairie Gardens, Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's a stress-free summer at Merle Norman Cosmetics. Looks are effortless with the 2022 Explore Color Collection. Ask about the limited edition 12-shade Exploration Eye Palette with guided labels for precise application. Next, swirl on Neutral or Berry Cheek Trio Blush. And finish with one of the new plant-powered tinted lip balm colors for shiny, nourished lips. Shop the Explore Color Collection while supplies last at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign, over by Subway.
Hey Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lon Tay, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. Piper's throwing out some NFL news, some tidbits, and it's not Kyler Murray. Trevor smoked me yesterday with the Kyler Murray news, and today, like, everybody was talking about that. And probably rightfully so, obviously. That's going to make headlines everywhere. But
there were some funny GIFs on Twitter. I don't know if you stumbled upon any about Kyler Murray with his 4-hour required study sessions. There was one of a kid in a classroom, like a grade schooler, who was open book on the desk, like pulling the information with his hands. He was like doing this visual, like pull the energy of the pages into my mind. Then he turns the page and just does it. He's not actually reading the pages.
He's just
all right, bring the information in my brain. Next page, bring the information in my brain.
Oh, well, and I know on the Patrick show, they ran the, they read an article from the New York Times, basically, that Murray had told the New York Times, you know, I've never been a guy that's really consumed a lot of prep work. I'm a guy that just feels it. I feel the game, and I feel that that makes me better. So I don't spend a lot of hours watching game film.
So that was after this came out, or this was
prior?
No,
this was prior.
Going back.
Yeah, this was prior. So, yeah.
Why would you ever say that, even if it was true?
Well, right. I mean, right.
Plus, it just sounds like such an egotistical thing to say.
It does. And again, like I told you guys, and we can stop talking about this now, but there's those little signs that I keep seeing with Kyler Murray, and it's little things like that. Like, why would you say that? That's egotistical. I mean, it's just everything about it. Just all the little signs point to somebody that I'm not sure. I don't know how well-liked he is in that locker room, but boy, the Cardinals are taking a chance on that he is, because they have certainly opened their wallets. I mean, he's guaranteed $160 million. Whether he studies for 4 hours and 1 second or actually wants to put time in during it'd be interesting to me to know how long does Aaron Rodgers look at film during the week? That would be interesting.
A lot, I think.
I mean, I would assume, right?
It seems like I know Tony Romo was known for having absorbed the entire playbook by Tuesday and repeating it to everyone. Or can I play devil's advocate on the one thing that should make you feel good?
Okay.
If the Kyler Murray we just saw is one that doesn't study,
right.
Maybe the one who does study is the best quarterback we've ever seen. I don't know.
That's a great point. And listen, let's be honest.
I don't believe that, but I'm
right. But let's be honest. I mean, Kyler Murray is a guy that it almost feels like, and I know there are a few quarterbacks like this. Aaron Rodgers is one. Aaron Rodgers does everything right. But Kyler is certainly a guy that is almost better if a play blows up. Like, if he has to scramble and, you know, he has that capabilities of doing that, but, you know, that's going to last another 3 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, not that he's going to be old in 3 years by any means, but maybe a few more wear and tear on those knees and ankles, and all of a sudden you're not quite scrambling like you are and you can't see over the line. Now what are you doing? So that's where I feel like you need to know what a defense is doing and understand what's going to happen on this play.
And we're still waiting for it to work across a full season.
Right.
And into the postseason, because he's worn down and his numbers late in the year have trended south. Now, it makes a lot of sense if, like, in hindsight, Kyler didn't study the Rams at all going to that playoff game. Now, I don't think maybe Cliff Kingsbury did either. I think they sat in Cliff's glass house, which isn't actually a metaphor. It's literally a glass house. And they did the Paul Rudd. Look at us. We're in the playoffs. Look at us.
He deserves one, but hold on. I'm queuing up Kevin Warren. You deserve it, Pipes. You deserve it. I agree. I don't think either one of them were prepared for that game. Sean McVay, once again, had the best of Cliff Kingsbury, and he's probably happy to be in that division. I told a buddy today who texted me about it, and I said, look, that thing could go down in flames so bad with Kingsbury and Murray. But we'll see. We'll see. If it does, I've been used to it as a Cardinals fan. All
but right. The news real quick.
Yes, what is it?
Julio Jones
signing
with a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
He would take who walked off the field?
Antonio Brown.
All right, because you still have, man, you can tell I'm not into footballs. I'm not.
Still have Mike Evans,
Chris Godwin.
No Gronk, but they got Kyle Rudolph.
Okay.
Now, the difference between Julio and Antonio Brown is Antonio wasn't really – his talent hadn't eroded by the time that he got there. Or injuries weren't just derailing his career. He was just a guy that you couldn't count on. And then he gets to Tampa and he actually is like, oh, I'm actually going to lock in for a year maybe. And he produces at a high level until he takes his jersey off and does the piece to the Jets fans. Julio hasn't been healthy and is he close to that same guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago? That's something he's going to have to prove.
Man, because he was so good in his prime. I mean, Julio Jones was so good with Matt Ryan and that crew. So we'll see. But that's a little NFL talk. We got plenty of that to get to as we roll along. But today, the Big Ten Media Day in Indianapolis. We're going to hear a couple more clips from Kevin Warren, also from Scott Frost, who went 3-9 last year, albeit a lot of close losses, but end of the day, you still went 3-9, and I think a lot of fans are wondering, you know, what's going to be next for Scott Frost, especially if he doesn't win at a higher level, of course, this season. So the one thing I wanted to start with, though, was Indiana coach Tom Allen, because it kind of plays to Illinois fans. But he was asked today, he was up on the podium, and then obviously they had the coaches go back to another area to visit with just the local media, et cetera. But he was asked about playing Illinois, and obviously, as mentioned, Indiana seems to always draw on their first game, a Big Ten opponent. They've done it four times. I think this will be the fifth time now, if I have my math correct. And the other thing is they haven't played Illinois since 17. So here's Tom Allen talking about facing the Illini.
From us to be able to play them, so expect a big crowd from them as well to come, which is awesome. Great atmosphere for game day, and expect our crowd to be huge. And so, I've really grown to enjoy these because I feel like that they have a chance to really set the tone for your season. And so it adds to the intensity and excitement of a fall camp and everything we do in June and July. And so, I'm a fan of them. I know they're not easy. I know they have ramifications either direction, but I think that, it's not anything I picked. But it's not like I had a choice. But at the same time, I'm choosing to recognize the benefits of this because I see it for sure. And I think it's good for our conference.
There he goes. And mainly, not just talking about Illinois there, but mainly talking about, again, how they, for some reason, are always the team that gets stuck playing another conference opponent to start the season. So, I don't know. Would you like that? I mean, you think back to last year where Illinois played Nebraska to open the season. And I know that game was supposed to be in Ireland and a lot happened, obviously. But when you look back at that, was that right? Was that the game that was supposed to be in Ireland, I believe?
Yes.
Yes. So when you look back at it, I'm not going to lie to you. I was more hyped last year for Illinois-Nebraska than I will be this year for Illinois-Wyoming. Does that make sense? I mean, I hope Illinois comes out and gets a victory like they did last season as well. And I don't know that, if I'd want that every year. I'm not sure because I'll tell you why I wouldn't want it every year, because the majority of Big Ten teams are going to beat you. I mean, it's just that simple, right? You're basically, by the media, picked to finish one. You're one of the worst four teams in Big Ten. So there's 10 other teams that would be favored over you. So I don't know that I'm really in favor of starting a season going 0-1. Not that you couldn't win that game, but the odds would be against you in that. So I guess there's that thought that, yeah, it's pretty cool. It gets the fan base, like Tom Allen said. It gets us fired up, and you can pick up a lot of momentum, especially if you get a win in that first game. I think Illinois kind of did a little bit there last year with Nebraska, but I don't know that I'd want to face that every year.
I wouldn't want it every year, but especially if you're a program like Illinois, like Indiana, when it reaches October, when you have the powers of the Big Ten, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, there are games to look forward to and circle in October into November where, like, this is going to be such a huge game, and these fan bases of these schools are already talking about basketball.
Yeah,
late September right. into October. There's no guarantees of this huge hype around this game. Even if it on paper is a big game against a big opponent, you might not be good enough to have that season, so your fan That's base fair. Might be tuned out. I think that the hype around Illinois and Nebraska last year was fantastic for Illinois.
Great and it way
was
to look at it.
Like a chance to have what we thought would be a statement win. Not to say it necessarily wasn't. Now then you turn around and lost to UTSA, so I guess it might not have been that. But for Indiana, you look at their schedule, Illinois, Idaho, Western Kentucky all at home. Then they go to Cincinnati, and let's be honest, Illinois is a lesser challenge than at Cincinnati, a non-con opponent. So the coaches will say the cliche of you're going to find out a lot about yourself. We hear right. about that, scheduling right. tough in the non-con for basketball. But for a team that doesn't know down the road whether some of those games are going to be marquee type of games, national TV games, or just games that really get the fan base going, I think that an early matchup like that is pretty cool.
That's a great way to look at that. I mean, honestly, I'd never thought of it that way in terms of, I guess I always looked at the doom and gloom of being 0-1 and how it's almost, it goes back to opening day of baseball when you have 161 more games, but boy, if you lose that opening day, you're like, we're done. We might as well just bring out the moving trucks. We're not going to do anything this season. But getting a win in that first game at least gives the fan, I'm speaking from that perspective, that idea that, hey, we're 1-0. Even though we beat Brown or whatever. It's like we're 1-0. We beat SIU. So here we go. We must be good this year. And then you move on. But that's a bring up a good point. All right, a team that needs wins is Nebraska, and more so Scott Frost, who, of course, will be hosting Illinois on October 29th. Today, it was a 247 reporter from Columbus. And I totally get where he was going. But when he asked the question, because somebody – had to ask Scott Frost the question about, being a little bit on the hot seat. And while nobody really came out, at least that I heard, and said, hey, Scott, you know, you've pretty much stunk all these years, so are you going to be good this year or are you going to be gone? The 247 reporter from Columbus was like, you know, 3-9 last season, but, you know, a lot of close games, and there were. But, you know, you win three of those. He started going Tim Beckman mode here. He goes, if you win three of those, you go to a bowl game. If you win six of those, you win the division. And then he's like,
this is the guy asking the question.
Yes. And then he's like, what, you know, you played Ohio State tough. And it was just like, okay, dude, stop. We get that you're trying to lob a softball into Scott Frost, but yet make it a little bit harder of a throw. Like one of those that they almost rule flat because you're trying to get out the point that you were 3-9 and this is a big year. So he finally asked the question. Here's what Scott Frost had to say about it.
Had a good enough team last year to do better than we did. You know, that falls on me. It falls on the whole coaching staff. It falls on the whole team. Compliment Ohio State. That, you know, they came into Lincoln with a really good football team, and we were right in the game, and we didn't win it. And that seemed to happen quite a bit. It'd be easy if it was one thing. It's a little harder because it was a little something different in every game. And more than anything, I think we just need to have a little more of a killer instinct to finish games. And we get in those close games, we need to finish them. Look forward to competing this year. I'm sure we'll be in some more, and we got to find a way to come out on top.
I mean, I feel like Scott Frost just threw himself under the bus there. He's like, I'd feel better if it wasn't just, if it was one thing, but it was just a bunch of things. Well, that might be coaching.
Might be. Crazy was, like, when Illinois beat Nebraska, then we're like, how bad is Nebraska? But yes. Then a couple weeks later, they were playing at Oklahoma and almost won.
Yes.
So then we were all confused.
Right. Like, how good is Illinois?
But some of these questions,
I don't
think
we were there.
Like, we talk about shot clock in high school basketball. Shot clock at these media days. It's terrible. And then, like, don't, like, pick a side. If you're going to be the go hard on Scott Frost and give him the, what's up, Scott, why you winning three games? Don't then say, well, you actually could have won six if you won three of those close. Like, what are you doing? Let him be the one to make the excuses.
I agree. Now, I do give the guy from Columbus credit because nobody else, especially, right. I mean, to me, that's more of a Nebraska beat writer there to say, you know, coach, do you feel like this is a do or die year for you? Or is this a put up or shut up year for you at Nebraska? Which I don't know how Scott Frost would answer that other than, yes, I've got to get it done. All right, well, I've got Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, talking about the college football playoff and the expansion of that and what else will continue to happen with that. And it, is it something, in other words, what I'm trying to say, that could happen in the future? Here's your Big Ten commissioner.
These issues, I'm 100% supportive for college football playoff expansion. You know, what is that right number? We'll figure it out. I'm confident we will get college football playoff expansion resolved. I still feel strongly that we need to open it up to have multiple media partners that we need to have from the college football playoff standpoint. We need to take a holistic view. We need to make sure we protect some of the critical bowl relationships. And so as we work through all these, whether it's automatic qualifier, whatever the case may be, I'm confident as we get these new individuals in the room, get these issues on the table, that we'll be able to reach some resolution. And again, make sure we ask ourselves the right questions for the right reasons at the right time for our student athletes and our fans. But I look forward to the day that we can expand the college football playoff, and I'm confident that it will happen.
Okay, well, there you go. So in that regards, it does sound as though the expansion, I didn't say that correctly before, will happen eventually. And I think we all understand that that is going to happen. When it's all about TV revenue,
and you're going to make money,
millions of dollars each game, then you're not just going to sit on four games for that long. But I think they've done it long enough. But nothing's happening.
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
All I heard was him say, we need to take a holistic view. And I said, there's the tip of the cap to Notre Dame.
Oh, you're seeing right through that. And earlier when I said he was talking about multiple TV, multiple media outlets, NBC. Okay. I think he's letting a lot out of the bag there. That's a good call. Kevin Warren did talk about just what he wants to have happen with the Big Ten in the future, especially. And I'm using the wrong. There we go.
And I want to make sure that we not only make the right decisions, that what's right now for our student athletes is for our games, and our competitions and their academic opportunities and our fans. But I want to make decisions that when we look back 30 years from now, that people will say that the Big Ten Conference was ahead of the curve in making these decisions. And so that's what I think about every day. That's what I think about from a partnership standpoint. That's why I'm grateful for BTN and Fox, and I'm grateful for these new media partners. I'm grateful for USC and UCLA. So it's important for us to make sure we take care of our 14 schools, bring in our two new family members, but to be really forward-thinking and think way over the horizon and think what our decisions will have an impact on this thing we call college athletics the next 30, 40, 50 years from now. So thank you for your question.
There you go. There's Kevin Warren, who would always thank everybody for their question and was really enthusiastic when somebody would ask a question. They're like, hey, Derek, hey, good to see you again, man. That's great. Yeah, good to see you.
Can you imagine him looking at himself in the mirror, assuming he stayed the night in Indianapolis?
I'm sure.
Contrary to like Big Ten basketball media day last year or a year ago for Big Ten football media day, is like trying to talk himself, it's going to be okay, Kevin.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. They're going to say some mean things.
They like me now.
Today he had to be like, baby.
It was the old Saturday night skit or whatever. Who was the Al Franken or whatever that would look in the mirror like, you're a handsome guy. Or he's trying to fire himself up. And Kevin Warren probably went out. He did like 100 put. He's a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
He probably did about 100 push-ups going into that one today. Chest puffed out saying, hey, look what I did. Look what I did. So, well, listen, Brett Bielema will speak tomorrow. We'll have more from Coach B on that as Illinois and the next half, essentially, of the Big Ten coaches speak tomorrow for Media Day. But always kind of a cool event. I know you have always covered it on the basketball side. I was fortunate when in my TV career to cover both basketball and football. And it was always it's always kind of neat to, I guess, not get up and close, although certainly with the Missouri Valley and back then in football, the Gateway Conference, a little easier to get up and close with those coaches than it would be, let's say, the Big Ten. So it was kind of neat to, you know, you always you hear coaches from a distance that you've always covered, or you hear, you know, Illinois State coach back in the day or the Northern Iowa coach that you would hear snippets from and see him come to SIU Arena once a year. But that was it. That was your only dealings with them. So it was always kind of fun to go and listen to those guys and hear what they had to say. And I just think it's a cool thing. They used to give out cool gifts. Now, I don't know. Do they still do that?
I think we got something last year. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. I mean, like back in my day, it was like a hat and a shirt. I mean, that was considered cool back then. Now you probably get like things you stick in the computer. What do you call them?
Oh, yeah. That was one year. You get the little USB drive.
Yeah, that's it. So I don't even know what that's called. So, I mean, you get the
flash drive.
Flash drive. You get all the fancy stuff these days.
Yeah.
But you'd get some.
I'd take a hat over a flash drive. Flash drive's pretty boring.
You'd get some conference swag, you know, and that was always kind of neat. And I always enjoyed hearing the commissioners. You know, I covered the Big Ten a couple of times, and you'd hear the commissioner speak. Jim Delaney, of course, back then. So it's always interesting going into it.
I think the setting of it's cooler than the substance a lot of times.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Like, just having all the coaches there, having media members from other schools that you get to see and get to know is cool as well, and just knowing that it's the big backdrop and everything, and then just it signifies the start of the season.
Like, right.
It's going to be – you're going into training camp, and the season's just now – only that far away versus a lot of cliches. Everybody's had the best summer. Everybody has the best culture. And then you got coaches that just don't want to tell you anything.
No.
Or if you're a beat reporter, like if you're going to talk to Brett Bielema, or in my case, going to talk to Brett Underwood, a lot of what he's going to say, you've already heard.
Correct.
Covering him here in Champaign. So not to like downplay or say it's kind of a waste of time. It's just sometimes a lot of the stuff is – it's just more of the ceremony than it is the substance.
You're right, and you're right about it. It's almost like the flare that goes off to say, all right, here we go. It's the start of this, but you almost learn more from the players.
Yeah.
And it's pretty interesting to hear their stories, because sometimes really cool stories come out about certain players. I know Verdarian Lowe, that was the first time I'd heard, I think it was a couple of years ago, first time I'd heard that he had a baby, and you know, I think then last year he was like, nominated by the Big Ten, the coaches and players, to actually speak to the media. He was kind of the representative of the players, which is a heck of an honor. So it was just kind of cool to hear some of those stories and get a little bit more in depth with the players, because they're not quite as good at knowing what to say and how to keep it so vanilla. So sometimes you actually get a little snippet from a player. And I felt like in especially TV, and I don't know why it would be any different than journalism and or radio, but in television, it felt like I was going there kind of with an idea of what I wanted to attack, a story, a storyline, if you will. Now, that doesn't mean other storylines wouldn't develop, and that doesn't mean maybe you had two or three that you were trying to get to, but that one kind of story that you wanted to get back and get on the air that night, you could kind of sway the players a little bit closer to that than you could the coaches. So I'm with you there, because a lot of what you hear is pretty boring, to be honest with you. But it is that cool idea of getting a bunch of these big-name coaches. And Kevin Warren said it today, I thought was interesting because I hadn't thought of it, but they're the only conference that is bringing back every coach. And obviously I have not sat down and done my homework on every other conference to know who's left where. And, you know, Lincoln Riley obviously left to go to USC. So there's one out of that conference, and you can just go through and probably pick a few out. But it was interesting, and I guess it does play a little bit to the idea that there's some solid consistency, or what's the word I'm looking for, in the Big Ten right now, and that everybody's pretty happy with their program, although we know a guy like Scott Frost was pretty lucky to be back, I think, this season, this year.
I would say so.
So, yes. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
That just seems like a stat that you're trying to throw out there that some people are going to be impressed with. Oh, the footing in the Big Ten is really solid.
And Kevin Warren's doing his job.
Everybody's happy and doing well.
Kevin Warren's doing his job. Well, I'm ready to hear from Coach B, but more importantly, I'm ready to just get it going. Let's get it going. And get this, you know, we're kind of mid-summer here. It'd be nice to have some Illinois stuff to talk about, even though, like you said yesterday, and it's true, that you don't really hear a lot or get to know a lot because they shut down practice. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, we get a little bit. They tease you a little bit with some breadcrumbs, yeah, but certainly you don't get the full scope of it. Now, I will say this about Coach Bielma. When he meets, and he did regularly last year with the media, it seemed like about every third day or so, and then they would also, I thought they did a great job of getting an assistant or, you know, a coordinator or someone those other days. But when Coach B spoke, he was pretty good about dishing out some decent stuff. I mean, there were times where he would keep stuff pretty quiet, and even the three of us who sat in a room, and we kind of all knew what was going on with one certain player, and we never heard a thing about it. And it was like, okay, well, obviously he's keeping that a little bit under wraps.
We expect him to do some of that.
That's exactly
I'm not saying, hey, you know what, we were drawing this up in the film room yesterday, and we love that when we get goal line, we're going to motion the tight end left, which moves the safety, but then we're going to run weak side. And Chase Brown is going to have an angle there to the end zone.
And then against Penn State, we're going to run something called the barge.
Yeah. I don't need all that.
No, right.
I'd like a little bit more, like, this receiver is establishing himself to where
he's gonna
it's
be the
obvious
two.
There needs to be more receiving options. At least, I don't know how much you're going to prove yourself in a practice, but that is a huge question mark for fans, media, and just the team in general. And it'd be nice to be able to go over and see those guys. But, look, I fully understand why you take the approach of keeping it in-house.
If you can go to Illini Inquirer real quick. Frank Snyder, who was the longtime coach at Kansas State, his son, who was a
– Bill Snyder.
I'm sorry, I said Frank. Maybe Frank's the guy that's coming here. Is he his son? Bill Snyder, I'm sorry, the longtime coach at Kansas State. His son, who was a punter in college and has been – a special teams coordinator, is coming to run that unit for Illinois football this season because of Coach Miller, of course, who is taking personal time off with the colon cancer. And, of course, we certainly wish him well. And it sounded they had a statement from him today, from Coach Miller, saying, look, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm spending a lot of time with my family, which is great. So obviously, though, it's something you hadn't thought about, is that somebody – is going to need to run that unit. So is his name Frank? Is that where I – no, Frank Sanders was a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals for years.
It all comes full circle.
There it is.
Sean Snyder will be the special teams coordinator and specialist coach for Illinois, filling in for Ben Miller, who has colon cancer. And Sean Snyder was a special teams coach at USC the last two seasons, but spent most of his career under his father, Bill, at Kansas State.
Okay, so that was announced, and then they had the wide receiver yesterday. Did we ever say that? Coming from South Dakota?
I don't think we did,
Out of South Dakota. They added kind of a more of a possession receiver. He's also a Cody Case. I like that name.
Slight in stature, 5'10". Didn't put up very big numbers South Dakota. Didn't have other Power 5 options.
Okay. Good kick returner, punt returner. So maybe look between the lines. Maybe that's what they want him for more than anything. And then depth. They need more depth in that wide receiver room, and that's probably why he was given a scholarship. Cody Case, double C.
Okay with Cody.
Okay. I was going to say he'd be on every email. Be like, look how famous I am. I'm on every email.
I just got that.
Oh, Trevor says yes to that. Wow. Oh, and by the way, Pipes had one earlier. So he still has the lead.
Are those keeping score at
home? Yeah, you're up 3-2, I think. Or do I just have one? I think I just have one. Dang it, I'm always just stuck at one or nothing. All right, we're back for just a bit. Maybe I'll do one of Trevor's favorite things and read off the lineup for the Cardinals game tonight, which actually I should.